Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, Minister of State Finian McGrath on his time in government and what the Green Party can expect as junior coalition partner. Green lists, red lists, black lists. When is it safe to book your holiday and where can you go? Put down the barbecue tongs. JP McMahon and Doreena Allen have some beautiful summer salad recipes for you today. The Licensed Vintners Association on how they're helping their members to prepare to reopen on Monday. And government formation, Mean Girls and making masks mandatory. Our Friday gathering is here to run the rule over the week. All that and lots more to come between now and 12 o'clock. As always, if you'd like to contact the programme, you can text us on 51551. You can tweet at Today Radio RTE or you can email todayradio@rte.ie. Well, it is 134 days since the general election took place and by this evening we will know whether we have an historic coalition government between Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party or whether we're in a political crisis. Well, with me now in studio to run through the possible outcomes are Gary Murphy, Senior Lecturer in Government at DCU, Finian McGrath, Minister of State for Disability Issues and former Independent Alliance TD, and our own Niamh Lyons. And thank you all very much for joining me this morning. Niamh, just on today and the counting and all of that, how's it going to work and when will we know?
Yeah, so at the moment, anybody who is a real political anorak can already log on to the Fine Gael website or the Fianna Fáil website and have a look at the Facebook live feed, because the kind of sorting of votes has at the very least begun. The Green Party are doing theirs in private and they are being overseen by the accountancy firm Mazars to make sure everything goes ahead okay. In Fine Gael, that Fiona O'Connor, who's the chair of the Executive Council, she's the returning officer. So at the moment, they're kind of sorting everything, having a look. Now, for them, with only 715 votes to count, because they have a college of voters, they are definitely seen as being the first in with a result, or likely to be. And we're expecting that around 3:30 to 4 p.m. She will give a 15-minute warning about when a result is expected. And then that vote will be given over Facebook Live.
Okay, so the Fine Gael vote could come much earlier then.
Yeah.
All right, so they're not all coming together.
We had been expecting some degree of coordination, but it's now looking like, as someone described to me earlier, it's going to look more like kind of the Eurovision tallies coming in bit by bit, and with the cliffhanger at the end, because it looks like Green Party will certainly be last. But for Fianna Fáil, there's 14,500 eligible members who are voting. The first half of this morning is actually involved in opening. Everyone will have sent in two envelopes because their ballot went into an envelope and that envelope went into an envelope. So it means that they'll have to start sorting those votes, taking, basically doing what you would do with a ballot box on a count day anyway, tipping them all out and having a look. And that counting proper is due to start at around midday. And Lún O'Brienán, an independent senior counsel, overseeing that. And as I said, for the just under 2,000 voters or eligible votes that they expect to receive in the Green Party, it's looking more like 6 to 7pm that we might have a vote for that. There has been some talk that if there was a recount, it could be a little bit later there, but I think everyone is hoping to avoid that.
Yeah, I suppose if the Green Party is very close, maybe that is the one that they could be looking at for a recount. But as you say, let's hope we will be able to avoid that. Finian, yesterday, did it feel like last day at school? Does everybody expect this to pass?
It was a very emotional day, but again, as I say, it was a fantastic experience for me to serve 4 years in cabinet, and a privilege for me to serve four terms in the Dáil as an independent TD. But yeah, it was very cordial. It was also, I said, emotional there from a historic point of view. I was delighted as well that we built up a relationship with our many colleagues, despite political differences over the last year. When you're in cabinet, despite the rows and the debates and the internal issues going on all the time, you still build up a friendship. So there was a great sense of solidarity yesterday. And the Taoiseach spoke at the end of the cabinet meeting and basically pointed that out, that we had a very strong personal relationships. Of course, there was internal debates on issues and issues like that. But I was delighted as well, because yesterday, the last memo myself and Simon Harris brought to the cabinet was a memo saving 20 million for adult disability services. So I'm making that point because if I wasn't there, that wouldn't have happened. So it's important to be directly involved in government when serious decisions come up.
Okay, and do you think this particular deal is going to pass from talking to people
I think that if you ask me 48 hours, I'd say definitely Fianna Fáil will pass it, Fine Gael will pass it. And if you ask me 48 hours ago, I'd say it was looking kind of more volatile within the Green Party. But I think the momentum has changed. I think I always felt there was a 75% of the Greens, for the left Greens internally, that were going to vote against the deal. Because, by the way, I understand. We had that debate on my team 4 years ago. Mm. Was I going to go into government with Fine Gael? Because a lot of my election team workers, and basically in my election teams, was 60-40 in favour of me going in and taking a minister for disability. So that's going on. That's a reality. But I still think, at the end of the day, I think the figures will match up. And if I was going into a bookie shop now, I'd say 75% yes, 25% no.
Would you agree with that, Gary? Is that your
You'd have to do it online rather than going to a shop until next week. I think the mood music in the Greens is better yesterday and today than it was on Monday. I spoke to a senior person in the Greens who thinks it will pass, and by a bit more than 66, but not a huge amount more.
What are they basing that on if they haven't opened the ballots?
Well, they're doing a lot of lobbying.
Right, so they're calling, talking to people.
Yeah, they're calling,
right.
They're talking, right. And they're cajoling, persuading, whatever adjective one wants to use. But they're certainly more hopeful. When I say they are, the Eamon Ryan camp is certainly more hopeful. And the Catherine Martin camp, I mean, this is one of the weird things about the leadership, is that both candidates are actually want to be in government. But there is a number of senior people, as we know, Nasser Horrigan, Hazel Chu, the chairperson, who are, you know, adamantly opposed, or three TDs. So it's not just a bunch of sort of what we might call cranks.
These are senior people in the party. Is it the right decision for them, do you think, for the party, if they do say yes?
Well, I just go back to what Finian says. If you want to get things done, you've got to be at the cabinet table. You've got to be in government. I mean, and that's why I was critical on this show and others of perhaps the Social Democrats, Labour. I mean, yes. What are you going to do? Just stay in opposition if you're not going to be in government? No. When would you be in government? I mean, the climate crisis can't wait, to use a green phrase. So why wouldn't they be in office? And I haven't been persuaded by any of those on the no side for the arguments for staying out. Yeah, they didn't get everything they want, but Fine Gael didn't get everything they want, or Fianna Fáil. That's the nature of how coalitions are formed.
Yeah, well, we were speaking to Saoirse McHugh on this show, Finian. She's obviously opposed to it, a prominent Green member. And one of the reasons she was saying that she was opposed to it was because she felt the document, although it looked good at first reading, when you looked at the detail, she felt was very fudgy and full of management speak and didn't maybe commit to things in the way that she would have liked to have seen. For the Green Party, would you have concerns for them going in, if that is the case in the document,
course,
that they haven't nailed things down as the junior partner? What advice would you give to them, well, given your own experience, as to how to handle those fights?
If you're interested in your Dáil seat, of course you're going to have concerns, because the smaller parties historically get wiped out at the end of the process if you go into bed with the big party. That's the reality. But why, you're asking yourself, why are you involved in politics? I went in against the odds, served in a government that I had lots of disagreements with, but I went in to try and do something for people with disabilities and a couple of other foreign policy issues as well, and to bring the
Would you have voted for this deal?
What?
Would you have voted for this deal?
I would, and I'll tell you why I vote. I think this deal, Circa has a point. It is open.
Saoirse.
But the bottom line is that it's so open that you can adapt to it. There's a strong social justice agenda in that. There's a strong equality. Now, from my point of view, when I read the disability section, I could have written myself, it's a continuation of a lot of the policies in relation to people with disabilities in line with the UN Convention for the Person with the Rights of Disabilities. So that is Green Party policy. I could see Nasser Horrigan's fingerprints in that, because I know she's very interested in disability. Mm. I could see a lot of left-wing Green friends of mine policies there. So there's an open agenda here. Che Guevara could have signed it. James Connolly could sign it. Mary Lou could sign that agreement with a few tweaks.
You of think course, it's a left-wing document?
I think it's a left... I think people are missing the point here, Sarah, that in relation to the issue is there's a strong left-wing element. There are Sinn Féin policies in that document, and the constructive positive policies that they have. So what I'm making the point is that document is broad enough to be developed. And when I was going in to the government that time, we had the ability to put in specific things, projects, etc., into the programme for government. But that is so adaptable, that document, that you can do lots. And I would be very what's happening in. There's a historic move here. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are moving to the centre. And I joked yesterday in cabinet with Pascal about that there's a movement there. They don't even realise it, because of COVID and because of the political clout of the Greens and because of the rise of Sinn Féin and the left, the major parties are moving more to the left.
I think that's true. I think unquestionably Irish politics has moved left. Voters have clearly moved left, as we saw in February. And this document is infused with the language of the state, of the state intervening in the housing market, which was anathema to Fine Gael for years. And Fine Gael has failed, let's put it bluntly, in relation to house building and the homeless crisis, particularly over the last government. So I looked at the document very clear. No, I'm not sure Shea Guevara, Mary Lou, whoever. But certainly I think it is, in my view, the most left-wing document in the history. It's a classic social democrat centre-left piece of work that puts the state firmly
Tax increases, though. It promises a tax cut for people, self-employed people over 100 grand. Yeah, I mean, this is not left-wing.
Well, but left-wing policies are not just about tax cuts. You know what I mean?
And it is about broadening the tax agenda, Gary.
I would agree. Sarah, can I also make the point, though, but it's open to amendment there. The other big debate has happened the last week, and I think a lot of the media and everybody missed the debate, is the debate on childcare. We're now going down the road of having a new childcare system based on the state system, which will be very similar, and all the parties in power agree with that. Now, as a former inner city primary school teacher, we were always on about that you need to have a proper state-run childcare service for people, and that will mean increase in taxation. I accept that point, and that is what's going to happen in the future as well.
And this is where the arguments are going to be. And I suppose, Niamh, one of the ways that the Green Party will be hoping to win their arguments, and indeed Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will be hoping to win theirs, will be based on who's in which department. And that's where the power lies. So what do we know about that at this stage?
Well, I mean, they're getting 7 portfolios, 4 of which will be at the cabinet table, including 1 super junior, and then 3 other junior ministries. So if you think of the green tinge, that will be across 7 different departments. I suppose the interesting dynamic there will also be that for 3 senior ministries in either Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they'll have a green junior tacked onto them, and kind of vice versa. But in terms of green people who we believe might be in cabinet, I think the nailed on are Catherine Martin and Eamon Ryan. The question then is, does it go to somebody like Roderick O'Gorman, who's probably their most high-profile new TD, along with Nasa Hourigan, but they're both Dublin-based. Then you look at outside the pale, they have 4 TDs that would be less well-known. It's very difficult to put a brand new TD into a cabinet position, even into a junior position, but it has happened and it will have to happen. The other issue that's interesting is the way the portfolios will be divided. There's some talk that Catherine Martin very much wants education, and Eamon Ryan has looked for transport, energy and climate action. Now, the talk around Catherine Martin had actually been that she might do communications. But the actual departments, even though there was a lot of discussion between the 3 leaders last night, they haven't been decided themselves. But say the personnel in the Fine Gael side, to me, seems relatively clear, despite the fact that there's going to be some huge people losing out. I mean, you'll have the Taoiseach there. It looks like Pascal Donoghue, because of the Europe Group decision, is going to be finance minister. It looks like Simon Coveney and Taoiseach is going to stay in Department of Foreign Affairs. And Heather Humphrey's name is being very strongly mentioned. Along with her, Hildegard Nocton in the West and Helen McEntee in Meath East are also being mentioned. Then on the Fianna Fáil side...
So Owen Murphy, a casualty in that
it
scenario.
It seems so. But there had been a rumour a few weeks ago that the Taoiseach had already let him down in this regard. And there were others that he had to do the same to. And actually, I think the person who's the biggest kind of clanger to leave out of the Fine Gael side is Richard Bruton, the current Communications and Climate Action Minister, because he was heavily involved in the talks. And Richard Bruton is not someone that you would look at as getting a demotion down to a junior ministry. But perhaps if the commissioner job came up, or would there be some other job for him within the party? He sees himself, I think, as being down but not out. But the Dublin thing very much playing against him there. Then the Fianna Fáil side, it seems that Michael McGrath is a dead cert for Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And obviously, if things go well, then you have Micheál Martin as Taoiseach. But that is obviously on the proviso that this deal goes through tonight. Dara Cleary, being the party's deputy leader, is also going to be in cabinet, you would expect. Then in Dublin, it seems a toss-up between Jack Chambers and Dara O'Brien, with Dara O'Brien possibly more likely to come through that. And then very strong... speculation around Norma Foley down in Kerry, who again is a first time TD but could be a very good shout for a junior ministry, and also Anne Rabbitt as well in Galway. Jim O'Callaghan, there had been a lot of talk that that the Attorney General position, which is, you can be Attorney General and be a voting TD. There have been talk that Fianna Fáil wanted that for him, but that he certainly didn't want it. And what I'm hearing from the party this morning is that they want an independent AG. It would just be too awkward at the cabinet table if you had a party politician giving advice on the tricky issues that arise.
The Examiner reporting this morning that that's off the table. No.
Yeah.
They're reporting this morning, Danny McConnell is reporting that Jim McAdam won't be the Attorney General, be an independent member of the
Do you think Micheál Martin has to do something with them? Is it unwise to leave him on the back benches or even in a junior?
I just don't see how he'll be a senior minister, given all the names that Niamh mentioned. But I think he's very talented and should be in government in some shape or form. The person that Niamh didn't mention, of course, was Simon Harris. I think he's going to stay, isn't he?
I think people had been ruling him out. I think Harris is one of the most dead certs going.
But the Examiner's reporting that the Greens could get help.
That's an interesting one, because I suppose Fianna Fáil had come in through the election saying they wanted health and housing. They'd gone through their talks saying they wanted health and housing. And now all of a sudden it seems they've gone a little bit cool on health. I mean, ironically, the last health minister was Micheál Martin himself 16 years ago, if you don't include the mad recobbling of Brian Cowan's cabinet when Tánaiste de Mary Coughlan was very briefly given that position. Since then, it was held by Mary Harney in the middle. I suppose there's a fear that perhaps the more progressive element of the party would need to be the ones that you put in there, because abortion legislation is up for review in 2 years' time. So could you have someone in that position if they were very prominently against the abortion referendum?
Could you see Party in health, Finian?
I don't think so. I think I'll see Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael in health. I think that, like you're talking about Simon Harris. No, I know Simon Harris may want a move there, because like he's done tremendous service, particularly over COVID, and he's had a very difficult time.
You think he wants to get out of health?
What I mean is I just think that if there's another position coming up and he was offered it by the Taoiseach, he would look at that. That's just my personal view. I'm not saying what he thinks, but I'm making the point is
I think a lot of people would say that. I mean, if he's going to stay in cabinet, I think they should just leave him there. I mean, we're sitting in the middle of the pandemic, not going away, and obviously the lockdown has been eased. It would make no sense in my view to change. Now, I think in Fine Gael there is a generational shift. I mean, clearly I think it would be the height of political insanity if they reselected Richard Bruton and Michael Creed. I mean, there's a new Fine Gael, remember, have lost 41 seats since 2011. So they need to do something radical in government themselves to remain a political force.
I also think they're going to have a generational change as well. I think the Taoiseach will bring on younger people. Like you're talking about Richard Bruton there. Richard Bruton had played a major role in bringing the Greens over the line on climate change, for example, at the negotiations. And yes, they're talking about younger TDs, younger ministers coming through. But I also think that Simon Harris has a major positive, constructive role to play in society.
Him, the interesting thing is that he's the only person who was, between him and Simon Coveney, the only two who were appointed to their roles back in 2016 by Enda Kenny, and who are still in those same roles. Yeah. So from an ambition perspective, the other thing about the portfolios themselves is that the carve-up will be interesting. So say if Fine Gael do keep health, they'll lose something else vital. So they may want to hang on to social protection because of the battle that has taken place over pensions. But Fianna Fáil will obviously be trying to get that one. I've heard Dara Cleary's name being mentioned in relation to justice. So it'll all be about, you know, how they manage to seal off the bigger kind of meatier portfolios. Because as we said earlier, the kind of portfolios like, say, arts and heritage and culture, those ones can go to the newcomers.
Okay, Fianna, I want to come back to you on the Green Party. One of the other things that's being mentioned in the papers today is the possibility that there's going to be a Fine Gael or Fianna Fáiler in as a junior minister under Eamon Ryan to protect the roads, I think is one of the quotes in the papers today, which gives you a mindset, I think, into how Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil might be approaching the coalition with the Green Party, if indeed all that is true. So I'm just wondering, from your own experience, is that how Fine Gael would have approached you guys in terms of a level of maybe disrespect or, you know, a sort of an adversarial mindset that, you know, we have to make sure to win our side?
Yeah. Well, the politics is a tough game. And when you're in government, there's constant battles, and that's the reality. So I'm on the page where if you have a good, strong Minister of State in your department pushing the issues and trying to change momentum, absolutely go for it. Now, I was in the position where I was a super junior, which meant I was across three departments. I did health, social protection and justice. And
so
it was a very busy place.
How
do
you win your wins? Does it come down to having, on contentious issues, having to threaten to walk away?
You get your wins by building up relationships and also about keeping your mouth shut on issues that mightn't be your priority. So when I wanted to build 12 respite houses, there was many times now the policy issues, I didn't get involved in big rows of people, even though I might disagree with them. That's the reality.
But did you ever threaten to walk?
I did, yeah, on three occasions, I think, yeah. Well, I had a big row, I can say it now, at ease, on the Stardust issue, Stardust fire tragedy. I felt that we weren't strong enough and I was demanding the time with Pat McCartney inquiry, etc., that be done. We find out if there's a story there. The second issue was, there was delays in the UN Convention for the Rights of People with Disabilities. The delays were coming from across different departments. Everybody seems to be blocking me. The joke was the permanent government, and I had to say to Leo, it's straight out, that that's in the programme for government. If you don't implement it, I'm not hanging around. Everybody knew, obviously. And the third thing was the delays between the HSE and the Department of Health about the cystic fibrosis unit at Bowman. There was lots of delays. Now, the good news is I signed the final thing, it's sitting on my table as I was leaving office. The plan, the money is there, the budget is there for the new unit, cystic fibrosis. But yeah, so there was three occasions when I felt personally.
When were you closest? When were you thinking it's time to get the cardboard box into the office?
I'd say possibly the closest was, I remember, because the first one I had was on the Stardust issue. I was really angry for about a week. And in fairness to Martin Fraser, the secondary gen, he was involved in negotiating, calming me down and making sure that was done.
So I suppose I'm just wondering, given how that's how you got those wins.
Yeah.
Is that what you think the Green Party will have to do on some of the bigger, harder issues at the Fine Gael already? And how many times can you threaten to walk?
Oh yeah, sorry. And what I say, you have kind of a bottom line or a red line. You don't threaten regularly, but you let them know that these are the three issues. So CF, disabilities and Stardust were three big issues for me. End of story, non-negotiable. It was also, I'm also wrote it into the programme for government. And that is a key thing. So if the Greens and Fianna Fáil and the Taoiseach stick to the programme for government, the Greens will stay in. My problem is that every now and again you're going to have a row. Shane and I had loads of rows of government over the Occupy Territories Bill. We supported Francis Black. They had a different view. They didn't support it. So we kept losing 16-2 at all the cabinet meetings, but we still pushed. But I'm making the point is you have those rows, but I didn't walk over those. We kept pushing the Palestinian issue, for example.
But yeah. I think it will be somewhat different in this government, because obviously the Greens are a full party, yes. You know, and have been a party who have made a huge decision to actually enter. Mm. Slightly different, of course, for Finian and for Shane Ross. So I think that will certainly be different. And of course, we have had junior ministers walk away, famously Roisin Shortall with James Riley, when they simply couldn't get on it. They had fundamental disagreements on private-public partnerships in hospitals. So, you know, and she walked and in fact left the Labour Party and set up a whole new party, which did very well in the last election. So, I mean, walking away has risks in and of itself.
But some of the politicians, some of you just mentioned there about the Sock Dems and all that, they need to get over themselves in relation to, you're going to have to work with people that you disagree with, and that's life. But that's life outside politics. People know that every day when they go into their job. But what I'm saying, there are some parties in there like the Sock Dems, the Labour and other people like that, Independents and People for a Problem, they're sitting on their hands. We're going through a COVID crisis. We have a major unemployment problem in the country, and they won't go into government and they have the honour of being elected by the people of Ireland, their constituency, and they're sitting on the fence and won't get involved in government. That really infuriates me, and that's unacceptable for many politicians. So what I would say fair play to Greens,
like
Fianna Fáil.
What was on the table. They have to stick
listen,
with what
I said earlier on, Shea Gavara and James Connolly could have signed this document and get in there and fight for the 5 or 10 things. I went in looking for 20 things. I walked over there with about 13 or 14, and that's politics.
One of your most high-profile incidents during your time, Finian, was that famous time yourself and John Halligan came up with the idea of the trip to North Korea to try and bring peace. What reaction did you get from Fine Gael at the time?
Listen, that was a very funny time. I put my hands up. That's what happened. But actually, that's
It was your idea.
No, it wasn't. It was John's.
John says it was yours,
well,
I think.
John says. Right, okay. No, the honest thing, if it started off as a joke, Shane Ross came into the canteen and said to Senator Malone in front of everybody, where is John Halligan? Or sorry, somebody asked Shane, where was John Halligan? And Shane jokingly said, I think he's gone to North Korea, right? And it started there. And then somebody said, are you guys thinking about going to North Korea? And yes, we did say it, et cetera, et cetera. And it took off there. But I also think, now, after another point, which I said before, there was a bit of an intellectual snobbery side of it from the establishment in relation to what was wrong with three independents if they did want to.
Who are the establishment?
The political establishment.
I wrote very critically about it at the time.
I think it might be me.
The DCU. But I'm making a point. There was a lot of, I would call it, intellectual kind of put downs. And listen, it happened. It was a bit of fun at the time. It got totally exaggerated. And also, John Halligan, he's made a major contribution to Irish society. Shane and Boxer. Yeah, Boxer and Shane lost their seats, and it was a very, very difficult time for them as well. But they did do a lot when they were in government.
Because we're almost out of time, but it's a separate topic. Ken Fox is reporting in the Irish Independent today that Oireachtas authorities have decided that details of former TDs and former senators' pension details will no longer be made public. And of course, the Department of Finance had already decided that we weren't going to be told anymore how much former ministers, Taoiseach or presidents are going to be paid. So now it's extended former TDs and former senators as well in terms of pension details. Is that right?
There's no need for that. I mean, when I was elected to Dáil, I was a primary school teacher, and my union had done a deal, and I got a pension. But within 6 months, I'd every year for the last how many years I'm in here, I donated my teacher's pension back to the state, back to the Exchequer, and told them to spend it.
Okay, but you think the public have the right to know?
So I think we should be transparent. We shouldn't be making any policy. Of course, when I retire and resign from politics, I'm going to get a ministerial pension because I served for four years, and I have no problems about being transparent by noble and telling the public, their taxpayers, they have rights, and that's
it. Doesn't affect your privacy?
I don't get offended by it.
They're paid by the public. I don't see the issue at all myself. I think it's a very conservative and cautious judgment, which takes the right to privacy way too far, in my view.
Yeah, well, it's about, if you're in public life, we knew that before we went into public life. Mm. You accept accountability, you accept transparency, get on with it, and what's the big deal? And by the way, people... I've cabaret workers regularly slagging me about teacher salaries and pensions because of the great terms and conditions a lot of people in this country have. So I think people need to get over themselves.
Okay, Gary, we're talking a lot about the deal and the likelihood, it seems, that it might pass this evening, but it could be very close. We don't know yet. What's the plan B? Is it a political crisis, do you think?
I think it is, and it's a short-term political crisis because of the Offences Against the State Act, which has to be passed by midnight on Monday. Now, whether they cobble together some sort of interim government for one day to appoint a Shannon, but I mean, that would make a mockery of the Shannon, because then it would be expected to rubber stamp the bill, which is an important one. I mean, which needs to begin, in my view, proper care and consideration, although I'm actually a supporter of it. And then I look at other parties, you know, will Labour come back in? When they didn't go in, you know, they didn't decide to go in 6 weeks ago with the Social Democrats. I think forming another government with another length of negotiations would be very difficult. I would take a second election.
Do we know, Leave, just briefly, do we know what's going to happen? Have they decided what's going to happen?
We actually don't know. Like, the Taoiseach had tipped off the business committee that they may want to sit, but the big problem is the talk is of a temporary Taoiseach. You can't have a temporary Taoiseach. You're either elected Taoiseach or you're not.
Yeah.
So no one in Fine Gael is going to vote for Fianna Fáil Taoiseach under those circumstances. That position is the same, vice versa. Also, I think Micheál Martin would actually have the best say in terms of being elected Taoiseach in a temporary situation anyway. But again, Fine Gael wouldn't vote for them to do that. So Leo Varadkar then has the option to go to the park or go to Alan Kelly. So I think Labour are actually coming back in quite decisively. He told Tip today during the week that Labour are always willing to serve and always aspire to office. So could they come back into play? I suppose what also could reasonably happen is that Leo Varadkar could probably walk away and say, look, we've done everything we can. That might then push Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin together. Okay. Would other issues start emerging then in terms of heaves?
Just finally,
the Green Party have the leadership.
Politicians always have a plan B and a plan C. There's always plan B and plan C.
If Micheál Martin is elected, if the deal goes through tonight and he will be elected then Taoiseach tomorrow, his family, will they be able to come from Cork?
Apparently they're not coming because they're not allowed travel that distance. And Pascal Sheehy spoke about that this morning in Morning Ireland. And I think it's kind of reasonable enough. But the fact that Party's also been or maybe voted in Taoiseach, not in the Dáil, in the convention centre, is kind of unusual. But I've already been told that his first job of work is kind of settled. He's going to be meeting with Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill next week if he's elected Taoiseach. Mm. He'll be in touch with the EU leaders. And in the first 100 days, they'll be targeting climate action, the credit guarantee scheme and that stimulus package. So they certainly seem to be planning on hitting the ground running. But obviously, unfortunately for them, it all depends on the fate of another party.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me to talk me through all of that. That's Niamh Lyons, Finian McGrath and Gary Murphy. And Finian, I hope you'll be able to get out. Oh, Monday you'll be able to get out for a drink, will you, to celebrate.
To celebrate the end, if that's the way it goes. We couldn't all go off for a pint after the Gavitas.
Yeah, you'll rectify that soon, hopefully.
But I just want to say one final thing. I just want to say wish Micheál Martin as well in relation to this. I know people can't say until the vote is over, but I want to wish him well.
All right, Finian, thank you so much. We'll take a break.